Long hold to God's unchanging hand. Nothing up on this earth remains the same. Time certainly is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, when your life is o'er, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home and glory your enraptured soul will view. There's nothing here upon this earth that does not change, nothing that does not wear out, nothing that does not come to an end. The only thing that's permanent, the only thing that will remain and stand forever, God's unchanging hand. Hold to it. Happy to see each and every one here today. We're certainly thankful for your presence and encouraged that you are here to be here to worship with us. We have several visitors, and we're just very thankful that you're here. And thankful for your friends and loved ones that have invited you and encouraged you to come. And hope that you'll come back and be with us again at every opportunity. This day is a special day in the eyes of many people of our world. A day whenever our world remembers, I guess, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we ought to be reminded of that on a weekly basis. We see in the early church that upon the first day of the week, they surrounded this communion table to remember the Lord's death and burial and resurrection on the first day of the week. Something that ought to be foremost and uppermost in our minds at all times, on a regular basis, because it's the basis of our hope, the foundation upon which all rests. That Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and if he was not resurrected from the dead, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we are of all men most miserable. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 states that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We just started in our adult class the study of the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, this morning. We'll continue that study on this Wednesday night. The importance of faith there is outlined in the scriptures. That there's not any way that we can begin to please God without faith. Now, we talked about this in our adult class this morning, but I thought maybe it might be good to coordinate the class with the lesson and help to reinforce some of the things that we studied there in the class pertaining to what faith is and the importance of faith in our relationship with the Lord. Notice it points out there that it is impossible to be well pleasing to God without that faith. And so that points out to us that we need to make sure that we have faith. He says he must have faith that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That God not only exists, but those eternal things that he's spoken of exist also, and that Christians, people who are faithful to him, can have that hope of those eternal realities, heaven and eternal life, which he has promised, that he will reward us with that. But I think that refers more than just to those eternal realities, but that he will reward us and see to our needs here upon this earth, right here and now. And sometime later I want to discuss that aspect of faith. But that's not my purpose this morning. We do want to see the importance of faith and what it is and how important it must be in our lives this morning. Before we do that then, I ask you to bow with me in prayer. Loving Father, we come before thy throne at this time. We come giving you praise, thanksgiving. We recognize, Father, that if you had not made it possible, we would not be here this day. We recognize we would not have life, and we would not have food and clothing and shelter, the things that we need to sustain life, unless they had come to us from thy almighty hand. Help us, Father, to recognize that we depend upon thee for all things. That without thee, we could not extend our lives one breath or one heartbeat longer. And that's by thy power that you uphold all things here upon this earth. Be with us, Father, at this time as we study of thy word. Bless us that we might come to a better understanding of it. Bless us, Father, that we might grow in faith. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Jesus said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, referring to there on the cross. So must the Son of Man be lifted up that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's purpose then is in giving Jesus Christ that we through faith in him, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you'll recall that there, that as the children of Israel were coming to the promised land, that because of their sins, God sent these serpents among them that bit them, and who their bite was sure death. And the people began to cry out unto God for deliverance from the serpents. And finally God told Moses to make this bronze serpent, likeness of a serpent, and put it up on a pole. And anyone that would look upon this serpent then would be cured of that snake's bite. And they did. And they were cured of their bites, as everyone, those that believed, that would come to look upon that snake. And so Jesus says here that he himself must also be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him, see, they had to believe to come to that snake. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is not any way that we can begin to be acceptable unto God except through belief in Jesus Christ, faith and trust in him. John chapter 1, verse number 12, again we read, John has just been writing about how that Jesus came to his own people, to his own city, his own nation, and they did not receive him. They would not accept him. But in verse 12 he says, But to as many as received him, he gave the right, that is the power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Again, it's belief that is required. Faith in him. The word faith comes from a Greek word, pistuo, which means to believe, to trust. Not only means just to have mental assent that something is true, but to commit one's life in the keeping because he trusts. It means to act upon that trust, to rely upon a person or the thing in which he believes. You might get in your automobile, for example, to make a trip to California. Maybe you got a new nice automobile, and you have faith and trust in it that it would take you to California and back. Now you wouldn't want to do that, my automobile. You probably wouldn't believe that it'd make it there and back. You probably wouldn't have that trust. You wouldn't commit yourself to my automobile to make it there and back. Several people smiling, maybe you can identify what I'm talking about there when we talk about automobiles and trust, you see. But faith requires reliance upon that automobile. And so, in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. That not only means to believe that Jesus exists, but it means to trust him, to commit one's life to him. Paul wrote about a man by the name of Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 that he said had forsaken him because he loved this present world. Now Demas believed, He knew that Jesus was the Savior, but he didn't make the commitment of his life to Jesus. He departed from serving Jesus and went back to this world because he thought that he was better off in doing that. He loved this world and thought he was better off in doing that rather than committing his life to Jesus Christ, the Savior. So belief then means not only to believe or agree something, some fact is true, but it means to commit one's life to that trust. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 there talks about faith and what it is when it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The faith is that which causes us to believe in things which we have not seen. It says, but notice it says the evidence of things not seen. It's the assurance of things hoped for. There's some evidence, there's something there that causes us to believe in that which we hope for. Now, when it talks about evidence of things not seen, we all believe in many things that we have not seen. For example, if I was to say to you this morning, do you believe that Africa exists? You'd probably say yes. Now, how many have seen Africa? Anybody here been to Africa? Charles, you been to Africa? No. Anybody? Old Dwayne's been to Africa? Now, does Africa exist, Dwayne? Yeah, it exists. How many believe Africa exists? All of you going to put up your hands. Some of you too embarrassed to do so. But we all believe, but you haven't seen it. How do you know it exists? How can you believe that? You haven't seen it. It's by faith. I've seen it. Dwayne has seen it. You've seen some pictures and drawings and so forth, things on television. You haven't seen Africa. You've only seen the evidence that Africa exists. Now, faith is based upon evidence. So you believe that it exists because of the evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. We all believe London exists, but we haven't all seen it. None of us saw George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, but we all believe they were presidents of this nation. So faith has to do with belief of the evidence of things that we have not seen and things that we hope for, but we have not come to realize yet. And because of the evidence presented, we believe that they exist. Now I want us to look at an example of this as it applies to Scripture over in Acts chapter 2. Just a few days after Jesus Christ had went to the cross, died, and been buried, and rose from the dead, and then after he had been seen by the apostles for a period of about 40 days, and apostles and other people, disciples, then we find here in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching a sermon on the day of Pentecost to many people that were gathered there from all nations under heaven, the record says. The people here were drawn together, so Acts chapter 2 begins, by a sound of a rushing mighty wind filling all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire that set up on each one of the apostles. So they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were people from every nation under heaven, and different ones were speaking in the language of those people that had come. And so that they were hearing them speak in their own languages. But they hadn't studied those languages. They didn't know what they were. So they were speaking in these foreign tongues, like we might speak in French or Italian, never having studied those. And they were, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak in those tongues. They accused them of being drunk. Peter stood up and refuted that evidence. He said, no, they're not drunk, but this is that which has been prophesied. And he quoted from the prophecy of Joel and also from the prophecy made by David. And then when he concludes his sermon, down in verse number 36, He tells them that they've crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this is what's happening, that the Holy Spirit is coming in fulfillment of those prophecies. Verse 36, he concludes then, saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ." Now, you see, he says that the one they had crucified was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been raised from the dead. He gave evidence in his sermon here of the fact that the prophecies had pointed out that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. Now the next verse says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They believed him. He presented evidence. Now what was the evidence that caused them to believe that they had crucified Jesus and he was now raised from the dead? Well, they saw the Holy Spirit come and they spoke in other tongues. He quoted from the various prophets of Old Testament that had pointed out that this was going to come. He spoke about Jesus, and in verse number 22, he reminded them about Jesus, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which he did in your midst. The miracles and signs and wonders that Jesus had performed, that was further evidence. And then there was the evidence of the empty tomb, which none of them could deny. The tomb was now empty. The body was gone. And here was a chance for the enemies of Jesus to bring forth the body now if they had stole it. But of course they hadn't. No one denied it then. And because of the evidence, when they heard these things, they saw the evidence, they were convicted in their hearts, they believed. Faith then is based upon the evidence. Just like we present evidence. Giving you hope, giving you faith, and your hope's based upon this faith that they're going to arrive such and such time. And so what do? Do you go to the airport? Of course you go to pick them up, because faith moves a person. You act according to it. You place your reliance upon the evidence that's been presented, and you go to meet them at the airport at the particular time. You obeyed. Because you believed, because you had faith in the evidence that was presented. In the same way, it's that type of faith that makes us acceptable unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and verse number 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." Yeah, now he's talking about here ceremonies of the law. Old Testament law. It's not ceremonies, it's not ritual that makes us pleasing, acceptable unto God. But what does he say? Not circumcision or uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. What made you acceptable to your friend was that you believed her telegram and you went to meet that friend and picked her up, or him up, whoever it might have been. And so what makes us acceptable to God is that we believe in him, that he exists, and we commit our lives in trust to him, living according to his instructions, doing what he wants us to do. That is faith. Faith, as we're going to study in Hebrews chapter 11, moved Noah to build an ark, didn't he? He had never seen it rain like that. The people about him had never seen any rain like that. Things not seen, but God warned him. And he believed God. He trusted God and went out and built that ark. By faith, Abraham left his country, the Ur of Chaldees, to go to a land he didn't know where he was going. But because of faith in God, excuse me, he trusted God and went out to that land we didn't know about. So faith will cause us to do. God said to Abraham, go up on the mountain and offer your son as a sacrifice. Abraham obeyed, didn't he? Because he had faith. He committed his life and the life of his son into God's trust to go and do what God told him to do. It was faith that caused the Apostle Paul to give up the comforts of home, to sacrifice of his possessions and his time and his all in order to go preach the gospel to every nation upon the earth. It was faith. Faith leads people to action, leads us to obey. There is not any other kind of faith. That's what faith is. There's not any other kind that's acceptable unto God. Now, faith is produced by evidence. And we believe, we have faith, not because we're told to. It's not just that we're going to be lost if we don't. That's not pleasing faith. But faith is that which believes because of the evidence that is presented. And faith can only be faith because it's based upon evidence. We can only believe that for which we have evidence. Now, we might have an opinion about something, but we can only believe that which we have evidence for. Now, an illustration of that. I have a box here. I have something in this box. I need to get it open here. Now, you don't know whether I've got anything in that box or not, unless you trust my word. If you trust my word that I've got something in the box, then you'll believe that I've got something in this box. That's faith, isn't it? What's in this box? What do you think I got in here? Whatever you guess, it's speculation. It's a guess, isn't it? It's opinion. It's not based upon any evidence. And you really can't believe that. Now, some of you are looking, you see, that's a prescription box. Don't be fooled. Don't be led astray. Whatever's in here is just an opinion. And you really can't believe an opinion. You can have an opinion about something, but it's not something you really believe and trust in. Faith is not just an opinion, is the point I'm trying to make. Faith is based upon evidence, and we can only believe and have faith in that for which we have evidence. So we have evidence in the existence of God. We have evidence in the fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. We believe those things, not just because we're told we have to, but because of the evidence. That's the faith that's pleasing to God. That's the faith then that requires us to study. Examine the evidence found here, found in archaeology, found in history, found in the world about us. Don't just be ignorant and led along like donkeys, but examine the evidence. Well, back to our box here. What's in it? I need some help. Somebody come down here. Willie, will you come here? Or Charlie, will you come here? You're close here. Come here. I want you to look in there. What's in there? Tell them. Apple. Thank you. Do you believe it's an apple in there? Have you heard any evidence? You think he's telling the truth? Now, if you believe there's an apple in there, and you can have that faith. Your faith is in his word, you see?
that you believe there's an apple in there. Mike, you have faith there's an apple in there? Mike believes. Good. You see, but you've got evidence.
Testimony is an evidence. We go to court and
trials, don't we, to try people, and people present testimony. They tell what they saw.
And we'll convict a person, maybe take their lives, even based upon the testimony of witnesses. We convict them on the basis of faith, because we weren't there. We didn't see them commit the crime. Is there an apple in there? Well, you either believe, you have faith, or you don't, you see. There's an apple in there. Oh, shock of shocks, huh? Yeah. It's just part of an apple, but there's an apple. Now, is that faith? You've seen the apple. That's not faith, is it? That's experience. You've seen it with your eyes. You know it by your own experience. And you could taste it there. Excuse me. It tastes like an apple. It is apple. You can smell it. I can smell it here on my hands now, you see. What we know by our senses is not faith. I couldn't talk with mouth full, so you had to excuse me there. What we know by our senses is not faith. We've experienced it. We know it by knowledge. But faith is that which we come to learn, maybe by the testimony of somebody else, or by the other type of evidence that can be presented. As we saw the miracles that were presented on the day of Pentecost, the testimony of prophets who foretold the future and it came to pass, and other such things. But you see, all faith is based upon evidence. And if there's no evidence to believe what you believe, you just hold an opinion. It is not faith. People, Jesus went to the coast of Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapter 16. He asked, who do people say that I am? Well, some said you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, or some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. That was just guesses. Not based upon any evidence. They're opinions. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. He had received the testimony presented by God. He saw the miracles that Jesus performed. He heard the parables that he taught, the other teachings that he had taught. And he was convicted by the evidence presented by God through Jesus that this man was the Son of God. That's faith. The others were guesses. They were one guess just as good as the other, but it's because they were all wrong. Whenever we have faith, it's based upon the evidence. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how shall they call on him? Now, I've just been talking there about the fact that we must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. He says, how shall they call upon him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The preacher's got to come to present the evidence. Or somebody's got to look at the evidence that people hear and come to believe before they can call upon the name of the Lord God. So then he says in Romans 10, verse 17, right in that same passage, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The evidence has to be presented. Whenever Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas, he didn't believe Christ was raised from the dead. The other apostles saw Jesus and they touched him, put their hands on him. And Jesus says, I want you to see that I'm not a spirit. Touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I have. They went and told Thomas. Thomas says, I'll not believe. He didn't have faith. I'll not believe until I can do it myself, didn't he? He had to experience it with his own hands, eyes, ears, his own senses. And whenever he finally did, then he believed. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you because you have seen and you believe. But he says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen me. That's faith. faith comes by examining the evidence presented perhaps by others or in other ways, and we believe. Do you have faith, this type of faith, the faith that commits, that causes you to commit your life to the trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that He resurrected from the grave, that He is now seated at the right hand of God, where He ever lives to make intercession for those that trust in Him? If you believe that, then have you committed your life to Him, to His trust? Now, it's a contradiction to say that you have faith in Him and yet you're not living obediently unto Him. Can't be faith. It can't be saving faith. Don't you appreciate so much what the Lord has done for you? How He has given His life. How that God has made plans and provided all things that through Jesus Christ we might be saved. We need to thank Him and express our appreciation for His great love and to love Him in return. But if you have not expressed faith in Him as He requires us to do, He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." On the day of Pentecost, when those people cried out and said, "We believe," they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." If you have not done that, then we plead with you to do that this morning. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, won't you turn away in repentance and give your life in service to Him, be baptized into Him, and begin to live for Him this day? Or if as a Christian you have not been faithful to Him and not shown this type of faith, will you not respond to the Lord's invitation? Will you not come if you have that faith and need to respond? While we stand now, while we sing.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the table now is spread. He languishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God. Salvation for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast, leave every care and worldly strife, come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will.
My, I don't know if I've ever heard a simpler and more direct sermon on the subject of faith. Thank you, Mark. 299, be our closing hymn. If you would at this time, pass your attendance cards into the center aisle so that they can be collected. Young people, remember, we want to have a real brief meeting immediately following services. So if you make your way on down, we'll get that over with. Following a song, Brother Evans will lead us in prayer. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, none go with me, I still will follow. No, none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll follow till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many good things of life which Thou hast so graciously given unto us. Dear Father, forgive us for our sins and continue to look after the sick. When our very short journey upon this earth is over, may we have a home with Thee. For in the name of Thy dear Son, we pray. Amen.